Hey, everybody. Welcome to the River Valley Podcast. My name is Kirk Graham, and this week I'm flying solo as Pastor Rob and Pastor Logan are down with some of our team at the ARC Conference in Birmingham, Alabama. If you didn't know, our church is not just an Assemblies of God church, which Pastor Rob sits on the executive presbytery for the Assemblies of God nationally, which just means he's a national leader in the movement called the Assemblies of God that has almost 13,000 churches. But we're also a part of what is called the ARC, which stands for Association of Related Churches. And that is a church planting organization that helps get churches off the ground by giving them interest-free loans in starting. And so I think over the last 20 years, there's been over 1,000 churches planted by ARC, and our church has been a part of that. It's a Kingdom Builders Partner, something that we give towards every single year to see more churches planted. We want to see churches planted around the world, which ARC is international, but also here in the United States. We want to see more churches planted in the United States, Bible-believing, and you know, from our perspective, Spirit-filled and mission-sending. And so I love that they're down there. Pastor Rob actually had the opportunity to preach at the ARC conference, and he was sharing about marriage and family and parenting, and he shared a message that he shared with our team before and at the River Valley conference, I believe last year, is how fast can you go? Obviously, our lead pastor is he's a leader that leads with urgency and with speed. And I love that. A lot of times people say, you know, from the outside looking in, or even from our staff, that we're, you know, we are a fast paced church. Pastor Rob wrote a book called The Speed of Unity. And how fast can you go in ministry? So he's talking to pastors down at the ARC conference. And the premise is you can go as fast as you can in ministry as long as you don't lose your inheritance. And what does he mean by inheritance? It really is your family. You can go as fast as you want to go in ministry as long as you don't lose your family. And so a lot of times, you know, in ministry, it's the weight of or the balance of ministry versus family, something that Kaylee and I determined in our hearts a long time ago, that we're not going to ever put ministry against family. We are a family in ministry, and we do it together. We're a family that harvests together. That's something that that has been prophetically spoken over us and that we receive and that we believe, is that we are a family that harvests together. And we look at it more like seasons and rhythms rather than balance of, you know, who owes who. You know, if I've been doing too much ministry, now I owe the family. Or if I've been too much family, now I owe ministry. And it's like, nope, we have seasons and rhythms. So we always pay attention to heavy seasons of ministry require a lead up time of spending some intentional family time, or after heavy seasons of ministry, you know, what vacation do we have planned? What getaway do we have planned? What intentional family time do we have planned to make sure that we're operating with healthy rhythms, not just seasonally, but we can work hard 6 days and also have a nice healthy day of rest. Friday is our Sabbath where we spend time with family. We rest and worship and do things that bring us life and that glorify the Lord. And, you know, we've talked about that before on the podcast, that on our Sabbath, you know, we usually pick a craft or some type of bake, you know, dessert, something fun to eat, something to celebrate, something to do with the kids. And so we love our Sabbath day. If you ask our kids what's their favorite day of the week, it is Sabbath, especially in the summers when Friday, you know, they're out of school and we get to spend the entire day together. But Pastor Rob's down there sharing at ARC. You can go as fast as you want as long as you don't lose your inheritance. And I love that he's challenging other pastors that you have to prioritize family. And when Kaylee and I got married, my dad officiated our wedding, and he's a pastor. And he shared, you know, to myself and Kaylee, our first prioritized ministry is to the ministry of our marriage. And now that we have kids, is the ministry to our children and then the ministry to the church. And, you know, if you're a person, a part of the church, you're not in ministry. I know I'm not talking to a lot of pastors. I'm talking to our church. You also have that same first priority, and especially as fathers, you're the spiritual head of the home, the leader of the home, and your first ministry is to your wife, and then to your children, and then to the work that the Lord has asked you to do. You know, the Made for Mondays deal is like, where are you going Monday through Friday to work? That has got to be secondary to the ministry to your family. And so just starting out, giving context of where Pastor Rob is this week, where Pastor Logan, some of our influence team and some of our staff are down there enjoying. I think it's sunny weather, Birmingham, Alabama, which is awesome. And would love to just recap a little bit about this last weekend. We talked about miracles, had the privilege to preach, which I'm always grateful for the opportunity. And we were talking about the miraculous. Pastor Rob, you know, 2 weeks ago, talked about the 40 days of Jesus after the resurrection and before the ascension of Jesus, which those are big words, just saying Jesus came back to life. He walked this planet for 40 more days, and then he ascended, literally floated up into the sky until he disappeared like a balloon. I mean, that's crazy. The disciples are staring, and the angels have to come and say, basically, stop gazing into the sky. Get the power like Jesus told you. Go wait, and I'm sending the Holy Spirit. Get the power, which we're going to talk about on the day of Pentecost, Pentecost weekend. We are a Pentecostal church. And then the angel's saying, get going, you know, get going. Go do the great commission that Jesus put before you. Stop gazing, get the power, get going. So we actually talked about get going this week. And I liked focusing on the 40 days of the church after the day of Pentecost, which starts in Acts chapter 2, and then leading into 3. Our vision verse for the year is Acts 2:47. You can look at that. Praising God, favor from God, and salvation. The Lord was adding to their number day by day. Right into chapter 3, where Peter and John are walking to the temple. And they encounter this lame man, and it's famous. If you grew up in Sunday school or grew up in church, you know, this story is super famous. You know, I don't have silver or gold, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Get up and walk. And this lame man was healed, and he had been lame from birth. And it's a story of the power of God, the transformative power of God. And something that I really wanted to lean into that I don't know if I did, I don't know if I did the best job leaning into, but really focusing on a different approach, not just believing for miracles in our church, but a different approach in your life day by day, everywhere you go, every person you encounter in the workplace, in the neighborhoods, your friends and family. You know, we're all just living our lives and we're encountering people every day. And are we aware of the people that are in our way while we're on our way? So that's one. But then two, a different approach of how we minister to people. Like, you were made to minister to people. You've got the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of you, and God made you to do something with that, not just to make you feel good. And praise God for the comfort of the Holy Spirit, the peace of the Holy Spirit, you know, the conviction of the Holy Spirit. But that's for you. But the Holy Spirit wants to do something through you more than just say, I'll be praying for you, buddy, or, you know, sending thoughts and prayers, more than just, you know, sending a quick scripture verse that you Googled. And that's all good. Like, that's good stuff. I don't want to bash that at all, because that is a form of ministry. But I love that Peter didn't send a scripture. He didn't say, I'll be praying for you. He gives a declarative call to action. And if we see Jesus do that in the scripture, we see Peter do that in the scripture, then those two examples from Luke chapter 18, where Jesus heals the blind man, and Acts chapter 3, where Peter heals the lame man, that's been modeled before us for a reason, not just so that they would do it or they did it, but that we, full of the Holy Spirit, we can do it. So we can give declarative calls to action in our daily life of the people that are in our way while we're on our way. And again, I don't know if I did the greatest job dialing in that specific point, but I want to recap it here on the podcast that, man, when we encounter people that, let's say, you know, somebody that's sick in their body, it's more than just, Lord, would you heal? Lord, let your will be done. You know, Lord, would you help them, comfort them? Which are all good, penitent and request prayers, asking God to heal. But we can take it a level further with our language and with our faith. And you're kind of stepping out there by saying, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. And let God do what he's going to do. And part of that, you know, when you step out, especially for somebody that may be far from God, but the Lord wants to use you to minister to them and to see them healed, it feels risky and it feels a little scary. In the name of Jesus, be healed right now, right now. And you don't know, like, it may not happen in that moment because it is up to God. And it's not about our fancy words, and it's not about even the measure of faith. You know, we need to have great faith, and the Lord wants us to have great faith, but even faith the size of a mustard seed can move a mountain. And so it's us just taking these little steps of faith, having a little bit of boldness, and it's not magic words, but it is different than just praying a prayer. It is a declarative call to action. Say, be healed in the name of Jesus. And I'm believing that God is going to do more miracles through our church over the next few days, the next few weeks, next few months, this year, than we've ever seen before, because we're now trying to live out what was modeled by Jesus and by Peter and in the Word of God, these declarative call to actions that are mixed with faith, that are mixed with obedience, that's mixed with the awareness of the people that are in front of us. We're not just too busy, not too much in a hurry. We're bold, full of the power of the Holy Spirit, and God's going to do the miraculous. And so if you weren't in church this week, you can always go to the church YouTube channel and watch the message if you'd like. Otherwise, you just got that recap there. And I love the podcast, being able to kind of do a deeper dive or a recap of the message. And hopefully you are encouraged. And if there's any testimonies, feel free to go on the River Valley app and share in the prayer request portion of the app. You can always fill out a prayer request, but you can always fill out a praise report as well. And we'd love for you to do that. Want to get to a couple questions, and then we'll go to a time of prayer together. And as always, there's a song at the end of every episode. And, I always have to turn the 1.7 speed off and slow the podcast down and listen to the song as it was intended. So here's a question from Jenna Gomer. Do you feel that River Valley has been hungrier lately? Altar calls have been desperate and transformative. That's a great question. And actually, Jenna sent a few questions in, and I love that people are asking questions, and we're here to answer them to the best of our ability. Jenna, that's a great question. And I can tell you in my own heart, I feel hungrier. And just a quick thing on spiritual hunger is it works in the opposite fashion as physical hunger. If you want to be hungry in the physical, just skip a meal or two or don't eat for a day and watch your body tell your brain, like, I'm hungry, I'm starving, I need food. But spiritual hunger actually works in an opposite way, that taste and see that the Lord is good. And it's in the tasting that you get more hungry. It's in the eating that you get more hungry. And so it's the opposite of the physical realm. And so I think, you know, what our church has been eating lately, if you will, is a little bit of the culture clash messages. It's the vision of praise, favor, and the Lord adding to the number daily, that what we've been eating as a church is making our church more hungry. And you know, I got off the stage this last weekend preaching. Pastor Rob was there on Saturday night, and he just said, man, I love this ministry time and the altar time. And I got reports from our campus pastors saying that the altars were packed. you know, across the church where people are responding, believing for miracles. And Pastor Rob said, he said, this feels like Seek Week on a weekend. And he's like, we need more of this. And if you're listening and you're hungry for that, can I get an amen across the Twin Cities or up in Vancouver? If you're listening, we love you. It's like Seek Week on the weekend, and we need more of this. We want gifts of this Holy Spirit in operation. We want the power of the Holy Spirit to flow. We want the Lord to take over our services. We're going to do good planning and good preparation, but Holy Spirit, you take control. We want to follow your leading in these services. And so, you know, my answer is I think there is a greater hunger, and I'm praying that we get hungrier. I'm praying that we get more desperate, and I'm praying that that the Lord would prove himself faithful in showing his transformative power in answering prayer and doing the miraculous and filling people with the Holy Spirit. We want more. And I love in all of that, sometimes desperation can take a really serious tone. I love that the culture of our church is we are desperate, and we're seriously desperate for the power and the presence of God. And we're having so much fun doing it. It feels amazing to pursue the Lord with each other. Corporately, and there's a joy in the room. There's a praise in the room. There's a laughter and just an excitement. And so I love that the desperation in our church is not in heaviness, but it's desperation and joy. And so let's keep going after it every single week and throughout the week. Another question, I said, Jenna asked a couple questions. She says, have you ever been prompted mid-sermon to pivot or bring up something unplanned? And the answer is yes. And I'm not just speaking for myself. I know this happens with Pastor Rob and with other preachers as well. And we actually pray that prayer, you know, before Saturday night services. We have some elders that come and they'll pray, lay hands on Pastor Rob or myself or whoever the speaker is. And we just pray over the message, pray over the service that the Lord would speak, the Lord would move. And we pray that specific prayer. Lord, if you have something in store for this service and across the church as they watch on video, if you have something that is not planned, that's not a part of the notes, like if you've got a rabbit trail that we need to go down, Lord, would you make that clear? And we are willing to lay down our plan so that your will would be done. And so, we literally pray that prayer. And I can tell you, I don't have a specific example at the top of my head, but it actually happens from service to service. There are things that I'll say at the Saturday 4 p.m. that, you know, when I'm preaching the 9 a.m. or the 11, you know, I was up at the, preached Apple Valley 9 a.m. and then I went up to the city 11 a.m. And I know there are things that I said and shared at the city 11 a.m. that were different than the 9 a.m. at Apple Valley and the 4 p.m. So I'm believing that those are Holy Spirit promptings and that it's things that God wanted to share specifically in those different services. And so, yeah, we do that. And then one last question real quick before we get to prayer, and then we're going to listen to a song, is from MJ Ellis Jr. 3. What version of the Bible does River Valley recommend or use in services? That's actually a great question because there's a ton of versions out there. I'll say this, we definitely try to use translations rather than paraphrases. And so it's not that the message paraphrase is bad at all. In fact, I'm a huge Eugene Peterson fan for a lot of different reasons because I love his writing. I love his books. I love that he was a local church pastor for decades, and I also love that he grew up in Montana in the same city that my parents grew up, Kalispell, Montana. So I do actually love the Message paraphrase, but we try not to preach from a paraphrase. Another paraphrase is the Passion Translation. So I know it's called translation, but it is more of a paraphrase, and that was done by one person rather than a group of people. And so we're probably not going to build our messages around sharing all the time the Passion Translation. And again, it's not an evil practice. or the message paraphrase. I personally use the ESV, the English Standard Version. There's a lot of different reasons behind that, but that is it's the most concise in my view. But I also love the New King James, the NIV, and the NLT. Those are some great versions. And sometimes I know Pastor Rob will do this. He'll share a verse, a different version of a verse in the message if he's specifically trying to get a point across in his message. And different versions kind of translate the Hebrew or the Greek to English in a different way that kind of bring out a different nuance to the text, or a different angle or view or filter, if you will, lens of what the Word of God is trying to say, the Hebrew or the Greek is trying to say. So that's kind of a quick answer. ESV is my version of choice that I'm usually preaching always from ESV, and it's not that I wouldn't use a different version from here or there, but my study Bible as well, my Fire Bible, that's got commentary built into that, that is the ESV. But my Spirit-filled Life Bible, that's a different study Bible, that is New King James version, which I also love. So now we're going to get to prayer. I'm going to open up my app, and you can open up your app as well. Not that we're going to read the exact same prayer request, because I don't know when you're listening to this, but we're praying right now for Wendy. She's always filling out prayer requests. Love it. Please pray for me to hear God's correcting, leading in my life, obey what he asks of me. Praying for Mike, that the Lord's favor be on me during multiple interviews I have today. May these folks see the value I bring and want me to join them. Pray for Chris. Pray that God would lead, direct, and guide my interactions at work so seeds may be planted in people's minds and hearts. I love these. Carmel's praying again. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness. This is a praise report. As I walk through the wilderness, edify, sanctify me. Let wisdom flow from my lips, love, forgiveness from my heart. Protect me as I battle for what is just. Amanda, as I begin the dating journey, and for everyone else going through the season, that God's hand be present, hearts be soft, gentle, discernment be high, that I may be ready to meet them, and they are ready to meet me. That my eyes remain on God and his will. Woo! Amanda, that's an amazing prayer as you enter the dating world. Rebecca, pray for my daughter, Cassie, and staff residents where she works in an addiction clinic. Pray that the training I do there today will glorify God, give them tools to heal and transform their lives. Amen. And so we've got some prayers there. Let's pray together right now. Lord, we pray right now over all of these needs. I thank you for what you're doing in our church. We ask you to do the miraculous in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Be healed, be transformed, be set free, be made new, be forgiven. Sleep tonight. No anxiety, no worry, no fear in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray over family members. I pray over marriages. I pray over children. God, as we talk about miracles, you're the God of miracles. And I believe that as I'm recording this podcast, you are answering prayer. You're doing the miraculous. Let it be done in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Everybody said, amen. I will be still. Presence is real. Of this I am sure. There's no need to rush. I'll linger right here. Your peace fills the speak, Lord.
Hey, thanks for listening to the River Valley Podcast. It would help us out a ton if you could rate and review this podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, and also share it with somebody. We hope that this isn't just for people in our church. We hope that this is people far beyond that, but we know that people in our church maybe don't even know about it yet. We're talking about it on weekends. We're sharing in announcements, but maybe you're a listener, but someone in your small group isn't, or someone at your campus. So would you send it to them, share it with them so that they can receive this, and then rate it wherever you listen so that more people can find this podcast.
If you have questions about faith, about church, about belief, about theology, about the Bible, please submit your questions. You can find us on Instagram at River Valley MN. You can also email us, finding us on our website, rivervalley.org. Please, we want to hear your questions so that we can continue to answer those or at least respond to them here on the podcast. And again, thank you for listening. We'll see you in church this weekend.